Well, as we celebrate the ministry of the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost morning, I want to take a look with you at a brief portion of Jesus' upper room discourse, that extended piece or period of teaching that Jesus gives his disciples on the night before his crucifixion. And I invite you to please open your Bibles to John chapter 16. We're going to look at just seven short verses in that teaching. And in these particular words that we will look at, Jesus promises his followers that although he will soon be physically absent from them, someone else is coming. Someone else is coming who will continue his work in their lives. The Holy Spirit will come and he will make his home in all who love and all who follow Christ. Jesus promises his disciples that the Holy Spirit will be present within them and that the Holy Spirit will be powerful among them. So please give your attention to the reading of God's word as we begin in John chapter 16, verse 7. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And this is God's living word for us today. Now, you'll notice among the several things that Jesus reveals about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Jesus promises his first and future followers that the Spirit of truth will guide them into all truth. And oh, how we need the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. We do not come into the world pre-wired for truth. No one is born into the world with truth in their hearts. Truth is not an easy thing to discover. We do not learn truth by osmosis. We do not find truth in ourselves. Truth comes to us from without, and we need to be taught truth. Our need to be taught truth is not simply a 21st century phenomena. Writing more than a century and a half ago, Charles Spurgeon notes, "This generation has gradually and almost imperceptibly become to a great extent a godless generation. One of the diseases of the present generation of mankind is their secret but deep-seated godlessness, by which they have so far departed from the knowledge of God. Science has revealed secondary causes to us, and as a result, many have forgotten the first great cause, the author of all. Even among professing Christians, while there is a great amount of religion, there is also little godliness. There is much external formalism, but too little inward acknowledgement of God, too little living on God, too little living with God, too little relying upon God." If that was obvious in 1855, think how much more abundantly apparent it is for us today. We need the Spirit of truth. Thinking of those that Jesus addresses in the upper room, we recognize that the primary meaning that Jesus conveys with these words is the way that God will guide and direct Christ's initial disciples to be the human authors of Scripture. Jesus promises his disciples that the Holy Spirit will lead them to record and to inscripturate truth accurately. So in saying this, Jesus promises the New Testament. He promises that the New Testament will be written by men who are inspired by God through the Holy Spirit. And alongside that primary promise to Jesus' first disciples, there is a secondary sense in which the promise has application to all who will follow Christ in future generations. Although we do not receive revelation anymore in the same way that Jesus' first disciples did, we do receive illumination. We receive instruction. We receive teaching from the Holy Spirit. And just as much as the Spirit of truth guides the writers of the Word, the Spirit of truth also guides the readers of the Word. The Holy Spirit takes the word that he inspires the authors of Scripture to write down, and he shines his spotlight on it so that we can understand its meaning and we can apply its message in our lives. The fact that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth is immensely important to us. Now, I have shared with you before the method that is used by the counterfeit division of the Treasury Department to teach people how to distinguish genuine currency from counterfeit money. And people who are responsible for identifying counterfeit money and for removing it from circulation, they're never given any counterfeit money to handle during their long, rigorous hours of instruction. Those who learn to do this are so schooled in what the real thing looks like, all of its intricate details, how it feels, what it smells like, and on, so that they never handle counterfeit money. But the moment anything that is false or fake or counterfeit is put in their hands, it is instantly apparent. They cannot be fooled when they are faced with a forgery. That should be true of us. We need to submit to the Holy Spirit and ask him to teach us the truth of Scripture so that the presence of heresy, false teaching, and any form of deception is immediately apparent to us. Like U.S. Treasury agents, we must diligently and carefully internalize the truth of the Bible so that if any form of error or half-truth is put upon us, it will become immediately apparent that the Spirit of truth will apply the Word of God in our heart and steer us away from deception and point us toward all that is true. God graciously gives us not one, but two love gifts that work in tandem to teach us the truth and to protect us against error and to guard us against shipwrecking our souls. And these two love gifts from the Father give us the ability to evaluate, to discern, and to expose truth from error and fact from fiction. God gives us both his living word and he gives us the indwelling presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We have devoted a good deal of attention in recent months to raising our awareness of the way the adversary of our souls works overtime to undermine our convictions about and commitment to the truth. Remaining committed to our convictions requires courage as well as discernment. And truth matters. What we believe matters. What we believe about who Jesus is and what Jesus has accomplished matters. What we believe matters because belief shapes behavior. The promise Jesus makes to his disciples on the eve of his crucifixion that the Spirit will come and guide them into all truth is a love gift that blesses and benefits every Christ follower who has ever lived. Jesus' promise undergirds the formulation of his living word. The Holy Spirit will work through the apostles in such a way that he will refresh their memories about what they have seen and experienced with Jesus. The Holy Spirit will help them organize their memories and impress on them the significance of what they have seen and heard. And the Holy Spirit will lead them to communicate all that is necessary for people to come to saving faith in Jesus and to live godly, Christ-centered, God-like lives. Peter explains how this process works in 2 Peter 1, verse 20. He says, "No prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but by men who spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." We have confidence in the reliability of Scripture because it is authored by the Spirit of truth. The Bible is not written by people who just write down whatever pops into their heads. The Bible isn't written by people who write down whatever they want to write. The Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is total and it is complete. The Bible is the final revelation of God. There is nothing missing from the Bible. There is nothing in the Bible that is not from God. Every word in the Bible is written by God through the Holy Spirit using the unique mind and experiences and even vocabulary of its human authors. Since the Bible is written by the Spirit of truth, we know that it is without error. The Holy Spirit has perfect knowledge. The Holy Spirit has infinite knowledge. The Holy Spirit has an infinite love for truth. And the Holy Spirit is incapable of falsehood. The Holy Spirit cannot lie. So you cannot fudge on the inspiration of the Bible without fudging on the nature of God. The Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit knows God's mind because the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit reveals God's absolute truth word for word. Scripture tells us that it is inspired, it is breathed out by God, it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that we may be complete and equipped for every good work. And so we need to allow ourselves to be shaped and molded and brought to maturity by the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. I hope you have a Bible in your hands right now, because, my friend, look at this blessed book and be reminded of what it is. This is the very Word of God placed in your hands at great cost. Do not take the Bible for granted. Do not treat it casually. Do not neglect it. In the past, the Spirit of truth inspired and guided those God used to write down his revelation of truth. And now, in the present, the Spirit of truth uses the Word of God to guide those who follow Christ in the way of truth. The Holy Spirit directs every true believer in the direction that he or she needs to go to pursue godliness and to pursue Christ-like living. The Holy Spirit is our truth teacher. In the past, the Holy Spirit was the truth revealer for Jesus' disciples. And in the present, the Holy Spirit takes the revelation and uses it to teach us all that we need to know for life and for godliness. This is how the Apostle John describes the way that the Spirit of truth applies God's word to us. In 1 John chapter 2, John writes, "You have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. The anointing that you receive from him abides in you and teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie. Just as it has taught you, abide in him. Now, anointed means to pour out, to pour over. So when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit poured out upon us. The anointing that we receive from the Spirit of truth prepares us to both receive and respond to the truth. It's our responsibility to know God's word and to submit our lives to its authority, but we are never left on our own when it comes to doing this. Though diligence and discipline are indeed essential parts of the process, applying the truth of God to ourselves is never solely a matter of diligence and discipline or a product of our own strategy or our own clever invention. We are dependent upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit to teach us the truth, to lead us in affirming the truth, and to use the truth to make our lives more and more like Jesus. The presence of God's Spirit in us and with us is a permanent gift of God. It's a permanent gift that God bestows on each and every one of his blood-bought children. John 14, 16 says, right from the mouth of Jesus, that the Spirit of truth will be with us forever. The Spirit makes his home in us, not just for a day, not just for a season, but for a lifetime. If we abide in God's word and the anointing of God's Spirit abides in us, we need never fear that we're going to go off track. We need never fear that we are going to depart from the faith. The gift of the Holy Spirit and the anointing that we receive from him is given to us as a permanent gift. It's given to us at the moment of conversion. Scripture knows nothing and says nothing about any subsequent baptism by the Spirit or a second work of grace. John speaks of the word you heard and the anointing you received. And you notice that both heard and received are in the past tense, a past completed action. You receive all of the Holy Spirit that you are ever going to receive at the moment of conversion. Sadly, in some cases, the moment of conversion is all of some people that the Holy Spirit ever receives. But continuing in the truth and growing in the truth, it requires both the word heard and the anointing received. Without the Holy Spirit, knowledge of the word becomes brittle orthodoxy. Without the word, the experience of the Spirit can lead to the most unjustified and damaging of excesses. The only protection we have against short-circuiting our spiritual life in either one of these two directions, the only protection we have in safeguarding ourselves from going off track is to receive and to respond to the word of truth that the Spirit of truth speaks to us and interprets for us. Only through the Spirit of truth are we able to know and to have confident assurance that Jesus is the Son of God. Only through the Spirit of truth can we know that Jesus is God's long-promised Messiah. Only through the Spirit of truth can we know that Jesus has come in the flesh, that he died a sacrificial, substitutionary death to atone for the sin of all who will believe in him and receive him as Savior. Only through the Spirit of truth can we know and believe that Jesus did not stay dead. He rose from the dead. He demonstrated God's acceptance of his sacrifice, Jesus' power over sin and death. He returned to heaven. He is now reigning with the Father at the Father's right hand. We can only know through the Spirit of truth that Jesus will come again in glory to gather his children from every time and people and place. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the truth teacher of every true believer. Those who follow Christ, those who love Christ, those who serve Christ with single-minded and wholehearted devotion and affection, they have everything that they need for life and godliness. God doesn't leave anything out. You don't need additional revelation. You don't need additional experiences. You have everything that you need in the living Word of God and through the living, ongoing, life-changing ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in harmony with the Father and with the Son as He applies truth in our lives. Verse 8 promises us that the Holy Spirit speaks the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth when it comes to convicting and to convincing us about the issues related to sin and righteousness and judgment. There are many who adopt the label of Christian who try to attribute a lot of false thinking and a lot of sinful behavior to the Holy Spirit. Some people baptize their feelings and they confuse their feelings with the truth. Some put experience on the same level with truth. The Spirit led me to live with my girlfriend before marriage. The Spirit told me I should get a divorce. The Spirit said I should disobey my parents. The Spirit told me not to read my Bible. The Spirit warned me not to hang out with other Christians. The Spirit told me not to bring my tithe to the local church. As crazy, as offbeat, as made up as any of that sounds, I've heard it all, and much more like it over the years that I've served in ministry. And none of that can ever be true. None of that is ever a reflection of anything that the Spirit of truth would say, because all of that stands in direct contradiction to the Word of God. All of that dishonors Christ and subverts God's agenda for His people and for His kingdom. The Spirit will never lead you in ways that are contrary to the practices and the principles of the Word of God. In verse 14, Jesus expressly tells us that the Spirit of truth will glorify Him, glorify Jesus, by taking what is Christ's and declaring it to us. For He will take what is mine and declare it to you. The key thing the Holy Spirit does, the one thing around which every other facet of His ministry revolves, is bringing glory to Christ. The Holy Spirit is constantly working to show us Christ. As we began our service with this morning, praying in song that God would show us Christ. The Spirit of truth brings glory to Christ by continuing and building on the ministry that Jesus began on earth. Apart from the revelation of the Spirit and the truth about Christ, you cannot know Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, "No one speaking in the Spirit can ever say Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." The Spirit of truth reveals a person, not a principle. The Spirit of truth calls us to a relationship, not a religion. It is always the Holy Spirit's ministry to point us to Christ. The Holy Spirit gives you the ability to understand the significance of Jesus' person, His work, His ministry. The Holy Spirit does not point to Himself. The Holy Spirit points to Jesus. Any emphasis on the person and work of the Holy Spirit that detracts from the person and work of Jesus is not the Holy Spirit's doing. As important as the Spirit is, the Spirit never preempts the place that Jesus is meant to occupy in your head and in your heart. Whenever, wherever, however Jesus is exalted, no matter what form that takes, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is the Holy Spirit at work doing that. An essential reason God puts His Holy Spirit inside of you is to keep you focused on Jesus, to keep the spotlight shining on Jesus. The Holy Spirit leads you to keep the person and the work of Jesus at the center of everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you think. So as you go home today, when you wake up tomorrow, when you go through the remainder of this coming week, be aware of, be on the lookout for the work of the Spirit of Truth. What is He doing in you? What is He doing around you? What is He doing for you? Ask the Spirit of Truth to guard you against succumbing to the prevailing winds of culture and failing to distinguish biblical truth from cultural norms. Cultural norms do not equal truth. Culture says that it is wrong to oppose the practices of those who adopt lifestyles that fly in the face of the truth that God reveals in His Word. The media uses skillful, sensitive portrayals of sin to desensitize us from seeing sin as sin. By fueling empathy within us about that which is gross and immoral and corrupt, the voice of the Spirit within is drowned out, and we are suddenly led down paths that ask us to champion what God categorizes as sin. So unless we remain open to and dependent upon the Spirit of Truth, we are in constant danger of adopting a belief system that is not based on God's truth. Ask the Spirit of Truth to keep deepening your relationship with Jesus. Ask Him to intensify your love for Jesus. Ask Him to cause you to keep Jesus at the center of all that you are and all that you do. Ask the Spirit of Truth to teach you truth from God's Word and to deepen and strengthen your knowledge of and commitment to that truth. Ask the Spirit of Truth to make you a bold witness for truth. And ask the Spirit of Truth to make you stand strong and to protect you in the war against sin and Satan in which you are engaged. Let's pray together. Oh, God, how desperately we need the Spirit of Truth. Lord, You have said that we would know the truth and the truth would set us free. We confess we fail to live in all of the freedom that You have come to give us. We live in prisons of our own making because we fail to take the truth and allow the Holy Spirit to apply it in our lives. Forgive us of that. Lord, continue to strengthen and encourage us. Help us to seek You more diligently and to ask the Spirit more fervently to deepen us in Christ, to fuel our love for Christ, to strengthen our knowledge and commitment to Christ. We pray that You, Lord, would continue to help us also to stand strong in the battle in which we are engaged. Whether we're aware of it or not, it's constant. It's going on all the time around us in the invisible world. Lord, we want to bring glory to Christ. We want to be those who are channels of grace and blessing to others, and even in the unseen world, channels of testimony that Your grace is greater, Your power is stronger. So help us, Lord, to be a Spirit-empowered, a Spirit-directed, a Spirit-loving, and a Spirit-led people who continue to stand up for all that Christ has said, all that Christ has done. And it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.